Did y'all know that the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is about Jesus? Okay, every book of the Bible is about Jesus Christ. The Bible has one hero, and his name is Jesus. The Bible has one villain. It's the devil. Listen, you have one villain in your life. One, the devil. And the Bible has one message, and that message is simply two words: Jesus saves. Now, here's something that's amazing in today that we can experience that we couldn't experience 10 years ago, even maybe, probably 10 years ago. You can Google Jesus in every book of the Bible. You can just Google it, and it will pull up a list of all 66 books of the Bible, and it will give you verses to help you see Jesus Christ in every book of the Bible. You see, the Old Testament is the gospel concealed. What does that mean? Well, it means that Jesus is in every book of the Old Testament, but it's you have to kind of search. You kind of have to dig to see it, and you can see it. Then the New Testament is the gospel revealed. It's openly revealed. So now, I just was thinking about this in my own life. A great springtime Bible study would be to Google Jesus in every book of the Bible. And I've done it. I've looked it up. And there's just a few verses, two or three verses. And what if you took the next 66 days and every morning you looked at those verses and looked at Jesus in every single book of the Bible? If you did that, you took the next 2 months, you took March and April and maybe even into May, here's what would happen. You would see the Bible completely different. I believe you'd see it completely different. And your relationship with God would grow exponentially. And so I just want to encourage you in that this morning. Now, if you're doing a devotional, if you've got something you're doing, don't, by all means, don't change. I'm not asking you to jump into something different. But if you're looking for something, it would even be great to do for the summer, okay, and take the summer to look at Jesus in every book of the Bible. Well, this morning, I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to show you Jesus Christ in a book of the Old Testament, and it's the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is four short chapters. Now, I'm not going to read you the book this morning. I'm going to tell you the story that is in the book. But I would encourage you sometime this week to get your Bible and go to the New Living Translation and read the book of Ruth. It won't take 10 minutes. And it's an amazing, amazing story. So let me begin. There was this woman named Naomi. And she had a husband whose name was Abimelech. That's a weird name, right? And they had two sons. And they lived in Judah, which was a part of Israel. And there was a famine in the land. And so they made the decision that they were going to leave Israel, they were going to leave Judah, and they were going to go across over into a country called Moab, because they'd heard in Moab there was grain, and it was the time of the harvest. So they left and they moved to Moab, and there was some grain there. Well, after they moved, her husband died. Okay, it doesn't say how he died, but it just says that he died. Then her two sons married two Moabite women, and they were married for 10 years, and those two sons died. So her husband is dead, both of her sons are dead, and all that is left is Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah, three women. Now, I want you to understand their plight, if you will. When a woman in those days lost her husband, she faced being destitute. Okay, her source of income was gone because women didn't work outside the home. And a lot of times, if they had land, they would lose it. If they had a home, they would lose it. So they are absolutely broken. They are absolutely destitute. Now, I really want you to see this. Okay, do you know the number one thing that has changed the lives of women in the world is Christianity? Okay, you see, Christianity believes that we were created in God's image. Ted, do you know in the Middle East, even today, under Sharia law, if a man wants to divorce his wife, all he has to do is write her a letter of divorce, hand it to her, and then he can kick her into the street. And she has no money, she has no home, she has no help. Do you know what's changed that? Christianity has changed it. Okay, do you know why there's no slavery in America? Because Christianity changed it. Okay, one of the greatest forces for good throughout the world has been Christianity. So let's go back to Naomi. Naomi's broke and destitute, and she tells her two daughters who are widows, her two daughter-in-laws who are widows, hey, why don't y'all go back home? Why don't you go back to your mother's house? And because I don't have anything, I don't have any more sons, and you're not going to get any help from me, so why don't you just go on home? So Orpha hugs her neck and says, okay, I'll go back home. But Ruth chooses to stay. And Ruth says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying with you. Your God is going to be my God. Your family is going to be my family. Your country is going to be my country. And I'm going to stay with you until I die. And she says, okay. So they decide to go back to the land of Israel. And when they get back to the land of Israel, when they go into town, the townswomen notice Naomi. They know her. And they say, hey, Naomi, you're back. What's going on? And she says, don't call me Naomi anymore, which means pleasant. She said, call me bitterness because my life has been bitter. I left here with something, and when I came back, I had nothing. And so they're there, and they're living there, her and Ruth, and they don't have anything. And Naomi tells Ruth, hey, why don't you leave and go out into the fields where they're harvesting and glean some grain? Now, let me explain to you how they would do that. When they would have harvest, of course, they harvested by hand. There was no machinery. And they would allow the poor people to come into the field. So there were people harvesting grain. Then people that didn't have anything would come in behind them, and they would glean or pick up what was left over. Sometimes they would leave the corners open, and they would allow the poor to come in and to gather grain and take it home. So that's exactly what Ruth does. She goes to a field, and she goes in behind the harvesters, and she begins to gather grain. And she's in a field of a man by the name of Boaz. And Boaz notices her. She's younger than him. And he asks the guys, hey, who's that girl over there that's gleaning grain? And they say, well, she's a Moabite woman, and she's a widow, and she belongs to Naomi. Naomi's her mother-in-law. So he goes over, and he talks to her. And he says, hey, I'm glad you're here in this field. I'm glad you're gleaning grain in my field. And here's what I want you to do. Don't go to anybody else's field. Stay in my field and gather grain. And we want to help you and take care of you. So she gathers grain, and she gets home that afternoon, and she has these big old bags of grain. And when she gets home, Naomi says, where have you been? She said, well, I've been gleaning grain. She said, where did you get all this? She said, oh, well, I went to this field, and I ran into a man named Boaz, and it was his field, and he told me to take as much as I wanted. And Naomi says, that's my husband's family, and he can be our kinsman redeemer. Now, before I talk to you about what a kinsman redeemer is, let me continue on with the story. So she gets up to go back into the field, and Naomi says, hey, when you go this morning, why don't you put on some lipstick? Yeah, put on some perfume. She told her. She said, take a bath, put on a pretty dress, put on some perfume. I added the lipstick. It's not in there. But I added the lipstick, and she said, go back into the field. Now, I think it's so hilarious how, you know, she's like, hey, honey, when you go back to the field, go looking pretty. But she's still going to glean grain. So Boaz notices her again, and he invites her to their tent for lunch. Greg, it made me think of you about having meals in the field and how when y'all would harvest, your family, when it your mother, would bring meals to the field. So they're doing exactly the same thing all these years before, and they're having lunch. And he invites her to lunch, and they eat lunch, and he tells her, you come drink out of our water, and you take as much as you need. And she has enough left over that she does have leftovers. So she goes back to the house where Naomi is, and this time she has more grain, and she has leftovers from lunch. And she says, oh, my gosh. She said, I want Boaz to redeem our family and to redeem our life. And here's what she tells her. She says, when you go to the field tomorrow, I want you to go, and I want you to stay until evening. And then after Boaz has had his evening meal and he lays down to sleep, they slept outside, they camped. I want you to lay down next to his feet and sleep next to his feet. Now, this is nothing unholy. There's nothing going on here that's bad. It was a sign of submission. And so when she laid down at his feet, she was saying, I submit myself to you. So she does exactly that. She lays down next to his feet. And he wakes up at night and he notices her and he says, what are you doing? And she says, I am your servant and I wanted to humble myself before you and lay at your feet. And would you cover me up with your blanket? And what she was saying was, is would you redeem us? Now, here's what happens in the story. Boaz goes to the city square and he says to the guys, hey, there's this field and I want to buy it and I want to take care of this girl named Ruth, but there was another man who was ahead of him. And he says to this man, do you want to buy the field? And he said, I do. He said, well, if you buy it, you have to marry Ruth. And he says, oh, I don't want to get married. I just want the land, but I don't want a wife. And he said, that'd mess me up. So he says, so I don't want to do it. So Boaz says, well, then I will do it. And so he purchases the land. And then when he purchases the land, he gets Ruth in the process and they get married. And in Ruth chapter 4, after they get married, God blesses her with a child. Now, throughout this story, here's what Boaz tells Ruth. He says, I have heard good things about you. Okay, I know you're a virtuous woman. And she said, I've heard how you've loved and taken care of your mother-in-law. You didn't have to do it. You weren't required to do it. You could have gone home to your own family, but you didn't do it. And I've heard good things about you. Now, don't miss this. This is so powerful. When you choose to live right, when you choose to do the right thing, people notice. You don't think people notice, but they do. People notice, and you don't know what doors will open for you. You don't know what God wants to do in your life, but people are waiting, and God is waiting for us to do the right thing, for us to have honor, for us to have integrity, for us to have purity. And then God moves on this situation, and Boaz says, I noticed that you're a good person. So they get married, he buys the land, and they have a child. That child's name is Obed. Obed grows up and he has a child, and that child's name is Jesse. Jesse grows up and he has a child, and his name is King David. Jesus is of the line of King David, and the Bible says that Jesus will sit on the throne of David for all of eternity. God had a plan that they didn't even know about, that they didn't even see. Could God possibly have a plan for you that you don't even see and that you're not even aware of? But all we can see is what's right in front of us. Now, Boaz, in Israel's tradition, was her kinsman redeemer. What does that mean? He was a person in their family who rescued them, who saved them. There were four conditions to being a kinsman redeemer. The first tradition was you had to be family. Okay, you had to be related. Now, remember, Boaz was Naomi's husband's family. They were related. So we met that qualification. The second qualification is he had to be willing, and he was willing. Remember, the first guy wasn't willing, but Boaz was. The third trait was you had to be able to do it. Listen, your broke cousin can't be your kinsman redeemer. Amen? Amen. They're barely getting by on their own, and they can't help you. Boaz was wealthy, and he was wise, and he had the ability to redeem them. And then the last thing is the payment had to be paid in full. Okay, you don't get redeemed part of the way. Now, here's where it gets good. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Boaz is the Christ in this story, and Naomi is us. Now, let me make it really clear. Every one of us before we came to Christ are broken and empty and hopeless. Naomi was broke and empty and hopeless. We're the very same way. Okay, we are the Naomi. We are the Ruth in that story. And before Christ came, we were without God and we were without hope. We had no hope. We had no future. Our future was hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read you a verse this morning. What's the first qualification of a kinsman redeemer? They have to be part of your family. Okay, Jesus is part of our family. Listen to John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. What did Jesus do? Well, He left heaven and He took on flesh and He became one of us. He walked among us. He is our family. So He meets the first qualification to be able to redeem us. Here's the second qualification. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What's that saying? He was willing. Now listen, you can have somebody in your life that's wealthy, but if they're not willing to help you, what good does it do? Okay, Jesus took on flesh and became like us. The second thing was He was willing to redeem us. What does it say in this scripture? That He humbled Himself and died for us. What's the third qualification? They have to be able. Listen to Romans 5:18. Therefore, it's through one man's offense, Jesus came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Jesus was our family. Jesus was willing. And Jesus was able to pay the debt. Listen, He is the spotless Lamb of God. You know what happens at the cross? Exchange. I go to the cross, I give Him my sin, and He gives me His righteousness. And He pays my debt in full, and He redeems me. The word redeem means to purchase. Amen? Here's the fourth one. The fourth one is He paid the debt in full. The verse I'm about to read is 2 Corinthians 5:21, and it is the entire gospel in one verse. Listen to what it says. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ or in Him. Jesus is related to us. Jesus is willing to redeem us. Jesus is able to redeem us. Jesus pays the debt in full. I gave Him my sin. He gave me His righteousness. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Just like Boaz was Naomi and Ruth's kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ is your and my kinsman redeemer. Without Christ, we're hopeless. Amen? Without Him, we're hopeless. But He came and He redeemed us and He purchased us and bought us into the family. God, that's good news. Amen? Y'all stand up and let me pray. Father God, thank you this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're our kinsman redeemer. Just like Boaz redeemed Ruth and Naomi, Jesus, you've redeemed us. You saved us out of sin and darkness and poverty and brokenness, and you delivered us. And I'm so thankful. Thank you for being one of us. Thank you for being willing. Thank you for being able. And thank you for paying the debt in full. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I pray your grace and strength over us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, I love you. Y'all go and be blessed and have a great day.